in my daughter's AP English class, they're reading the book, The Scarlet Letter. How many of you have read that book or at least have heard about it? Some of you have. Made me think that we too are branded with a scarlet letter, except our letter is not an A on our heart. It is an L on our forehead. Now, if I did this to you, Dakota, what does this mean? What does this mean if I do this to you? Loser, right, right. The kids all knew that in the first service. Loser. Today we are marked with the letter L on our forehead. The good news for us is that Jesus loved being around losers. That's who he hung out with. He welcomed and he ate with sinners and tax collectors. Why? Because everyone knew that they were lost. They were lost in that shuffle between who's important and who's not. Lost in the mix-up of who is acceptable and who is not. Lost in the understanding of who God favors and who God does not. There's a relationship between being lost and repentance. Jesus talks about it over and over again. What does repentance mean? And how would you define repentance? What words come to mind as you think about repentance? Sorry? Okay, being sorry, saying I'm sorry. What other words come to mind as you think about repentance? Forgiving? Okay. Say that again. Pardon. Okay. All those are good words. Some of the things that came up at the first service was to change, to turn back to God. It's interesting to think about repentance and being lost, especially in relationship to these two parables that Jesus told us today. Repentance has a lot to do with our behavior, with saying we're sorry, with asking for forgiveness. But the idea of a sheep or a coin repenting is a little ridiculous, don't you think? I mean, think about it. A sheep could probably go back to a shepherd, but only if the sheep knew the way. And the coin, well, that's a whole different story altogether, because although you might be able to make change with a coin, I don't think any of us can make a coin change. If we could, that would be pretty amazing, don't you think? I think that could be amazing. Well, there's nothing in Jesus' stories either that indicate that the sheep or the coin were bad or sinful, or that either needed repentance. They were simply lost. Lost. The sheep did nothing in this story except to be found. The coin doesn't even have four legs with which to get lost. It's lost because of someone else's actions. It did absolutely nothing in this story except wait to be found. I share this because typically we think about these stories about the lost coin, the lost sheep, as stories that are about us. About our need to repent because we are lost. But I think these stories have a little less to do about us and a lot more to do about God, about who God is and about what God is like, what the character of God is all about. This is what God is like. A shepherd searching for a lost sheep. God is like a woman searching for a lost coin. Both are a bit ridiculous and relentless. I mean, to find that one sheep, the shepherd left 99. And where did he leave them? Where did he leave them? In the wilderness. Now, we're not talking about a wilderness like we have here in the Pacific Northwest with beautiful evergreen trees offering a shelter from the rain and nice ferns and brush to hide in. We're talking about a desert wilderness, a rocky, hot, with very little water, desert wilderness. This shepherd left 99 sheep vulnerable to find one. Although sheep were a very valuable commodity in Jesus' time, what reasonable shepherd would leave 99 sheep unprotected, vulnerable, to find one? Well, what about the woman? She spent a whole day looking for a coin that was worth one day's wages. She looked so long and so hard that she had to light a lamp because it was getting dark. And when she found it, what did she do? What did she do? She rejoiced and wanted to throw a party. And it's funny because that party probably cost more than that coin was worth. Now, does that make sense? Is that reasonable? You know, this is what God is like. Very unreasonable, a bit ridiculous, relentless. God is always looking for the losers because they are the lost ones. God is always looking for us, whether we realize it or not. God is always searching for us, lighting that lamp in the darkness of our lives to find us, willing to sacrifice everything for you and for me. Why? Because God has a heart for losers. God has a heart for losers, and God loves us. We bring God joy. So we are no longer losers, but we are loved, or we are loved losers. God loves each of us so much. And that love is not sensible or reasonable. It is rather ridiculous and careless and relentless. Always there. Always seeking us out. Always making that first move to find us and create in us new hearts. Hearts that are for God. Because when we stop running from God, putting God off, just a minute, we'll find that God's love has already found us. And this is an important piece of what repentance is all about. It has less to do with us and more to do with God's love is already there for us. That we are already found and transformed by God's love. This is reason for rejoicing, because we can't lose. Whether we see ourselves as the ones who are lost or the ones who are found, there's reason to celebrate. Even if we're not sure, God is sure. God is sure that God loves you very much and that this love finds you. This love always finds you. So the question is, how do we respond to this? Do we open our hearts and do we open our lives to this love or not? How do we respond? Sometimes not very well. The scribes and the Pharisees, what did they do? They were grumbling. They were complaining. This Jesus welcomes sinners. Worse than welcomes them, he eats with them. We don't know if those friends of the shepherd or the friends of the woman, if they join the celebration or not. Will we join in the celebration? Will we join in this rejoicing? There's a Jewish story that tells of the good fortune of a hardworking farmer. The Lord appeared to this farmer and said, I'll grant you three wishes. Three wishes I have for you. The only condition was that whatever God granted this farmer, it would be given double to his neighbor. The farmer could scarcely believe this blessing. So he wished for 100 cattle. He was happy. Immediately he received 100 cattle. He was overjoyed until he saw that now his neighbor had 200 cattle. So he thought for a bit and he thought, I wish to have 100 acres of land. Voila, 100 acres of land were his. Again, he was filled with joy until he saw that his neighbor had 200 acres of land. Rather than celebrate and rejoice in God's goodness, this farmer started to feel jealous. He felt slighted because his neighbor had more than he did. And after all, it was his wish, wasn't it? Finally, he thought, I know what I'm going to use my third wish for. He wished that God would strike him blind in one eye. And it was with that wish that God wept. How do we respond to God's goodness and grace? To us? For those around us? How do we respond to this love that welcomes all people, no matter what? Today, Jesus invites us. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me because that, what was lost, has been found. He invites us, and then he launches us. We are losers who are loved and then launched. And somebody said, and we're Lutherans. We are sent with the same mission, to have a heart for losers. One by one, making that first move to find the lost and to receive them with the heart of our loving God. To rejoice at the generous and ridiculous, reckless love of God that gathers us all as God's children. Let's pray. Come and find us, God. Even as we grumble at how you welcome the outsider. Come and find us, God, even as we become the outsiders and run away from you. Come and find us, God, even as we have lost our way and are hiding in the dark. Come and find us, God, even as we search relentlessly and cannot find our way back to you. Come and find us, God, and let us rejoice in you. Come and find us, God, and send us out to love all your children. Amen.